You've been searching for answers, wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for The Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris. Rhonda.
Hello, listeners. This is Rhonda Harrison, the Roadmap. Today, my guest is Jean Slater, the amazing author of Hiring the Heavens, which can really help people learn how to negotiate and work with angels and the divine to improve and change their life and release their stress. And she's an accomplished author and inspirational speaker who is helping thousands to receive clarity, direction, and purpose through their direct access to higher guidance. And she works with the celestial realm. She inspires people to continue to do this. And with that, I'm going to bring Jean in so we can talk. We've done one interview before. Hi, Jean. How are you doing?
Hello, Rhonda. I'm doing fantastic. And how are you?
I'm awesome. I'm back home and working on my land and actually kind of making a dream come true that I've been working on for about 30 years.
Wonderful.
So what's new and exciting in the realm of angels that you've been working with so far this year?
Well, the wonderful thing about this, this became part of my awareness and part of my everyday life more than 12 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now. And you know, it continues to be something that I use every single day. You know how there's ideas that come along that once you hear them, they change your life forever from that point on. There's so many wonderful, wonderful self-help programs out there. But I honestly, I have to admit, many of the things that I've gotten into and learned about have ended up on a shelf, and then I never use them again, or I can't even remember what they were about. But I have to say that the idea of hiring the heavens has been something that I have used consistently over the past more than 15 years here, and I continue to learn something from it, which is really amazing, you know? How do you keep learning from something like that? But I do, because the ideas of it expand the awareness of who you really are. And once you open that door, once you recognize that you have access to a dimension beyond this physical, the questions just keep coming. And you keep learning about yourself, keep coming up with more questions, and keep receiving more answers. So I have to say that if you ask me what's new in this realm, there is always something new and something else I'm learning. And I would love to share with you some of the stories I've heard recently that have just been so fun, and some of the things that I've been working on that has, you know, I feel like it's again shifting me to the core.
And it really is doing that to a lot of people, and I think, and this is my speaking, you know, it's why I bring different types of helpers, healers, energy workers to the show, is so that people can find out that there is a way that will resonate with them one way or another, so that they can continue to move forward in this time of energy that's moving so quickly. And it's really pushing, you know, the envelope and saying, you know, stand up and do what you're really here to do,
or, you know, or do the work so that you can do that, you know. And I think that that's what I'm seeing a lot with people around the world is everyone, you know, doing the work to move up to the next level or to be, you know, that much more in touch with the divine.
Agreed, agreed. And, you know, that is one of the things that is new that I've been working on in the last few years is an entire program, certification program. And in the development of the certification program, I hired the heavens. I did exactly what my signature book is all about. And I had a whole committee that was helping me from the other realm to develop my course. And I got to watch in awe as it began to unfold in front of me. I honestly am just astounded at how it all came together and the gems that are in it and the depths. And it's what you're saying, Rhonda. What they showed me was that there's really two imbalances in life. Two. That's it. Either it's about knowing who you are or it's about knowing how you create. And that's it. And so if you can kind of think about it in the yin and the yang symbol, one aspect is knowing who you are. Now, how can you be of service in the world if you don't even know who you are? If you don't know what your light is, if you don't know what your gifts are, if you don't know what it is that you're here to shine to give, if you don't know that about yourself, you will be in search of that. And, you know, the truth of it is that we aren't born knowing that. We go on this journey of discovery. Each and every one of us is on this journey of discovery, of finding out who we are, and that never ends. And then every step along the way, as we discover more and more about who we are, it's like, okay, now how do I express this? How do I create with this? How do I put this into service? And that's the other half of the picture. And again, that is something that we're not born knowing, but we discover as we go along on this journey, and it also never ends. And that's the exciting part about this, is that you are constantly able to discover more and more about who you are and what it is you're here to do in this world. So hiring the heavens has helped me in unbelievable ways to know that about myself, and I'm constantly calling upon them and asking them to give me more information, and I know that this is a journey that I'm excited to be on and will continue to be on till I draw my very last breath. So it's like you're saying, we're this energy is shifting all around us, but we need to stay centered in discovering who we are and how it is that we create.
Yeah, and it's easy to defocus off of that if you're, you know, in a city where there's a lot of busyness and lights and radio, TV, all those different things that we use as distractions. And what I'm finding with being back home in the mountains is that, you know, my creativity raises so much higher when I don't have any of those influences in my life, you know, during that time.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say, though, that it kind of, this gets back to knowing who you are and what feeds you. I'm like that too. Nature feeds my energy, and I absolutely have to have it, and I need a lot of alone time in nature in order to feel rejuvenated. But I've certainly met people who are energized by the city, and that feeds them. That energy just inspires them. So, again, it's about knowing who you are and what feeds you, and what stimulates that creativity, and then knowing how to express it.
Yeah, and that's a lot of it is learning that part. Because, I mean, I lived in the city for a long time, and then moved up to the mountains and was here for 6 years, and then was back down in town last year after I broke my back. And it was like I couldn't create like I do when I'm up here. And just the energy is different. And I think.
Well, you have quite a story about Higher in the Heavens. This is kind of how we got connected. And, you know, you told me it a while back, but I would love to hear it again.
Sure. It was probably 2012, sometime in 2012, that I got the book, Hiring the Heavens. And I found part of it through your website and your offer of, you know, the free first three chapters. Well, after I read the first three chapters, I had to have the book. And I've, like yourself, have done a lot of self-help stuff that's worked for a while but doesn't work consistently. And I can say with this approach of, you know, doing the committees, coming up with a list of what bothers you, where you get defocused at, I think it makes a really big difference for people to be able to know that they can talk to the angels and interact with them and let them know what they need. And that their needs will be met. It's just maybe not, with, as long as you don't have an outcome idea, you know. I mean, if you're just open to the journey of letting the angels help direct your life rather than you trying to direct the angels how to work in your life, you know, I think it makes a really big difference. And so I read the book, and at that time my dad was not doing well, and my health was getting better at that time. So I kept working with subcommittees as far as not to worry about different things. And then as I started watching, I started noticing that, you know, my prayers were being answered and people were walking into my life that before, you know, my meeting with a subcommittee, nothing had happened. And it worked so well that I developed a treatment process. Because at the time I went to St. Thomas, so I was in the ocean a lot and resonating with, you know, just letting everything go, and that if I didn't resist the waves, it was a lot easier on my body than if, you know, rather, you know, and then just ride the wave and not freak out and get tense. So I came up with riding the wave of life, and it's worked really well. I applied it to myself first before I did it with anyone else, you know, because I really wanted to know it, learn it, see how it works, you know, what the, you know, where things would change. And it was working with certain essential oils and stones so that I could unblock different areas in my life. And even with that, I mean, and making my oils, I've always depended on the angels to tell me what recipes to make and how to name them and what their purposes were. And I make the oils on the new moon and the full moon. And they've never let me down in that. But riding the wave of life with the divine or high in the heavens, you know, your version of it, is that it's about allowing the angels to know what it is you need in your life, or, you know, the things that worry you, and can someone please help me and take this burden from me? And it does that, you know, and it's made my life so much easier and so much lighter to just ride that wave and not be in the process of what if, what if, what if, you know. And I hear people all the time go, well, yeah, that sounds good in theory, Rhonda, but what if? And I said, there is no what if in my life. You know, the divine will take care of it. What it is it is. And, you know, or we, even when I broke my back and everybody's like, I hope you'll walk again. I said, it's not about hoping. I said, I am going to walk again, one way or another. You know, and I'm up walking, and it's been 6 months since I broke my back. And I lost the use of my right side for 6 weeks. And, you know, they really didn't think I'd ever walk unassisted, and that I'd probably never come back to my property here in the mountains in Red Feather Lakes. And, you know, let's see, it wasn't even 6 months from the day that I had my second surgery on my spine after it broke and crushed in L4 and L5 that I was back on the property and I was walked into my medicine wheel, you know, at least twice a day then. Now I walk it barefoot from my front door to my wheel and then walk the wheel and then come back out through the east. And I really believe that, you know, it was the divine's doing. It's not mine. You know, I've come off 30 meds in the last year and a half. You know, I'm healing from the inside out. I mean, anything I've written down that I've been has literally been taken off the list. You know, now It's more about how do I manifest this and pass it around so that everybody else can get, a taste of it. And that's what I'm noticing now is that people are like, well, what have you been doing that's so different? You know, they're like, we know you're different and you think different than most people, but how are you doing this? I mean, I have heart doctors, pulmonologists, gastroenterologists that are all going, this just doesn't make sense. You should be getting worse progressively, and we should be adding more meds progressively. And I'm like, no, I quit taking your 15 pulmonary meds. I've quit taking 5 of the heart meds, and I've taken, you know, and I'm not taking any of the gastroenterology meds anymore. And my blood work looks better than it ever has, you know, and that's because divine to take care of me. And I don't panic, you know. I just say, okay, this is the problem. How are we going to work it, you know? And a lot of it's been working with essential oils and stones and doing my art that I love to do with the oils and with the stones and the chakra sabers that I make. You know, they're just amazing how spirit puts the energy out there and it comes into fruition, you know, in rocks or whatever, you know. So, I mean, for me, your book, as far as I'm concerned, probably saved my life because I, up until that time, I was a fretting type of person because that's what I'd been taught in my family was, well, what if, and hope not, and hope it works. And I started noticing people constantly using those words, and I said, no, just pray for me that this will come out to the highest good of all. No, I said, we're not going to hope. We're not going to do the what ifs. You know, we're just going to do it, and I'm going home in May. You know, that's the way it is. And in May, I came home. And I won't say it's been easy the whole time, but it's been awesome. It's amazing to see how Spirit has brought people to me to help me with the land and to help make changes on my property that I physically can't do anymore. You know, and that's not because I'm out there with an ad in the newspaper or a sign on the street saying, I need help, you know, with my land. Can you please come and donate some time, you know? And I've got people donating time to make it into the retreat that I'd love to be able to take people into, you know, to learn how to ride the wave.
Right. And, you know, I'm just in awe of your journey. And, you know, one of the things that I've come to understand, of course, each and every one of us is on a journey, and we all have that story to tell. But the thing of it is that when we can recognize that we're not alone and that we do have help, it's like you say, then we can start feeling like the hope comes in, the hope, the inspiration, the direction, the clarity, all of that starts to come through when you can connect with that greater part of who you really are and that thread that goes back to our divine selves and our God self. And, you know, I'm bet that there's a lot of people listening that are like I was, where I was afraid of the divine world. I was afraid of God. I was afraid of angels. I mean, I was brought up in a religion that was like it talked about in the Old Testament, God was to be feared, you know? And so it was with great trepidation that I connected with or even prayed. And I would only do so if it was something that was completely unselfish or for you know, a worthy cause. I the idea that the divine was part of me and that it was a relationship that could be as personal as it gets never occurred to me. And I, like I said, it was kept separate from me. And that's, I think, what so many people are taught in the religious circles, is that this energy is outside of you and separate from you. It's like you can't reach it unless you're worthy. And
exactly.
What I learned through my experience and what eventually ended up in writing Hiring the Heavens is that this cosmic world, this spiritual world, never wanted to be separate from us in the first place and loves being involved in every part of our lives. And there isn't this hierarchy, like there's God, then there's the angelic realm, and then there's the lowly humans. And it gets that's as low as it gets, right? That's kind of the feeling I had before. And instead, what I'm understanding is that the God energy is in us. And as such, we are never separate from that. And it's a co-creative world. Us and this angelic realm are co-creating together joyfully. And when you think about it that way, it shifts everything.
Yeah. And, you know, and when I put on those cowboy or those rain boots during the moon dance, because it was cold, and I didn't bring stuff for cold weather. I had a cotton skirt and a certain top and a shawl and stuff that I knew I was going to wear in the rain boots, and everybody kept trying to give me their stuff, and I said, no, I have to dance in these boots. I said, this is how I'm going to get over the hurdles that I'm going to be in going through over the next few months, and I have to learn how to ride it so that I can through it, because the last time you were on the show, you know, I was asking if you saw anything in my group of angels that work with me, and you said, you know, Rhonda, how those really nice dressed guys are in their riding gear and they're on the horse and they're jumping those hurdles like they're in a competition. She goes, you have somebody like that in your life right now. And that's what made me buy those boots. And you know what? I didn't get cold that night, and I danced all night, and I didn't falter, you know, like I figured I would, considering that it hadn't even been 6 months since I'd broke my back. And was out dancing, to which they told me I'd never dance and that I would probably never be able to withstand anything for long periods of time. And I was out there dancing all in the dark, you know, till sunrise. And I really believe the boots had a part to do with it, because it gave me the belief that the angels were there moving me through it. You know, and I, like you, was raised where you only bother God if it's really a big situation, or only if it's, you know, a life or death situation or whatever. I mean, I was raised Mennonite the majority of my life. And, you know, so for me to step out of the box and get into this broad spectrum of the divine, you know, took a while. You know, I started in this adventure in 1990. When I got clean and sober, and I decided I didn't want that damning God in my life anymore. So I went every direction that I could to find what fit me and what worked for me, and what didn't work for me, I'd let go of, you know, or if it started to make me feel guilty, or, you know, or that I was a bad person and I was unworthy, it was like, that's not what I'm reading here. I'm reading that we're all worthy and we all deserve to have, you know, a seat in with the divine, you know. And I wasn't ever taught that. I was taught to be like, you can get by your toenails, you know. And it was like, no, I'm fully going to step into this, you know, now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not the way I was raised. And that wasn't my belief system until then. And my belief systems had to change a lot. But with reading your book and seeing the angels actually work, and it happened, it's amazing. And I'm just going to take a minute to tell the listeners that if you want to call in to 1-347-838-9142, If you have any questions or comments that you would like to have answered or looked into, please call and press 1 first so I can see you in the back office in the queue. And Gene, I know that you've applied this to your life too, and that's part of your life coaching program that you have. Am I correct?
That's correct.
And
yeah,
can you talk about that a little bit? And
I'll tell you what. My experience was, and I need to recall, because it's been so many years, of when that pivotal moment was that changed everything for me and made me develop, or it made me realize that there is this other realm that is eager to assist us with whatever it is we're doing, no matter how big or how small it is. First of all, I want to comment on something. You have such a strong trust now in the spiritual realm. Like you said, I know there's no what if. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in May. And you know, that kind of strength, though, I just want people listening to understand that comes through that kind of trust. And faith actually comes through experience, and you began to work with it, and as you saw evidence that it was true, then you built that trust. And it's the same for me. Back when I had my pivotal moment, I started playing around and experimenting with this. I went from a complete skeptic who would scoff at the word angels, honestly. You go back years ago, and if you said angels were at work in my life, I go, oh, that's nice. You're a little bit crazy, and, I'm getting out of here. I went from that kind of skeptic to where I know and I believe. And the reason is because of time and having the evidence brought forth. And over time, that trust develops. And this is a relationship. The relationship you have with the divine is just like any other relationship. When you first meet somebody, do you immediately trust them? I mean, maybe we could say in rare occasions we just like, no, I can trust this person. But usually what happens is we have to get to know them. We maybe decide that we're going to go out to lunch together and tell me a little bit about yourself. And over time, as the relationship continues, you learn that, yeah, this is a person I can really trust and I really relate with them. Or you say, you know what, I don't relate with this person. And furthermore, it's been shown to me I can't trust them. It's like any relationship, and so it is with the relationship you have with the divine. You start out by just kind of opening that door and being willing to see, is this a relationship I can develop? Is this a relationship I feel comfortable with? Is this a relationship I can trust? And what happens is over time, because of the evidence that's shown to you, you begin to trust this relationship deeply. I mean, it's something like there's a point that happens, and I don't know if you can remember when it happened for you, but I do for me, where the doubt, any kind of skepticism I had, any kind of doubt that I had, any kind of point where I could say, I don't know if that's really spiritual help helping me. I think that's really something else. You know, it's just maybe just coincidence, and everybody has those kinds of things. There came a point when it was undeniable. And that in that moment, something shifted in me. And I'll tell you what it was. And I didn't have words for it at the time. But I do now, looking back at it, that shift that happens, so this is actually going to, you know, as I'm trying to put this into words, it's going to sound kind of strange, but you recognize who you are. You see the divine in yourself, and you see that reflection everywhere. And that is the shift that happens when you trust that relationship. Because if you are the, you know, if you're a divine spiritual being, yet you don't have a relationship with the divine and you don't trust it, that means you can't trust yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense, because that's the biggest part of the trust issue, is that you've never been taught to trust yourself or trust your gut instincts, which is really, as far as I'm concerned, the angel's trying to tell you, oh, no, don't go do that. You probably shouldn't touch that right now, you know. And, you know, I mean, for me, I was told, just use your common sense, you know. It's not a gut thing. And it's like, yeah, it is. You know, your stomach turns, you know, when you go to make a decision. You know, I look at those things and go, huh, maybe this isn't the right thing. Because just a few weeks ago, I had to buy a new car, and I was really sold on buying a Kia Soul. And I was sure that my dad had given me all the precursors to that's a car. And then all this, but as I was driving it, I went and noticed that they had a PT Cruiser, and I didn't say anything. And my mom says to me, I think you'd be better off with a PT Cruiser, because with your disabilities, if you get more disabled, you won't be able to drive the stick shift. And I was like, oh, no, sir, you know. And then it dawned on me, you know, why is it that I'm looking at it, and why is it, you know, that I'd already started to change my mind, and my mom had the exact words, you know. It was like, okay, that's kind of weird. She didn't even know that I had considered a PT Cruiser or even looked at one. And so it was like, okay, well, this is pretty much the way it's going to happen then, you know, because it's the first time I've bought a car without my dad or stepdad here, you know, and it was a little overwhelming for me, and I wasn't anticipating it, you know, but the angels worked it out, and I got a car that I can totally afford to pay payments on, you know, where, you know, the other car would have made it too tight.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's that. That trust that you have developed, it's really about trusting the truth of who you are, which is this spiritual being. You know, we've heard that saying that we are a spiritual being having a human experience, but we don't live that way. We live like humans. We get caught up in the minutia of this physical life, and paying bills and taking care of this and taking care of that, and it's all on a physical level, and occasionally we tune in to spirituality, or tune in on Sundays, or tune in, you know, or pray, and that's an occasional thing. But what if we live differently, where we truly recognized and came first from the truth of who we are, that spiritual being, and saw everything through the eyes of God? Now, just imagine in this very moment that God is you and God is looking out through your eyes. How different would you go through the day knowing that's who is experiencing with you? And if you can make that kind of shift, your every single day is different. Every single day is a journey of exploring experience and learning and discovering the truth of that experience and feeling. And there's such a different type of excitement about it. And when you make that shift, then of course you trust yourself. How could you not?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and I think that's the cool part about hiring the heavens, is that you are writing at the same time that you're, and it gives you fact-based information to look back on that shows you that, look, this prayer got answered in this amount of time. This prayer got answered in this amount of time. You know, this subcommittee got this to happen in this amount of time. You know, and it's just so reassuring that you're finally listening to your gut instinct, your spiritual, soulful self, rather than the ego self. And that's been the biggest part of my challenge, because it used to be, you know, someone would say something and I'd go, oh yeah, I know, or, you know, I know that, when really I didn't, but I was afraid to say, I don't know that. I don't know how to do whatever it was at the time, you know, and then I had to learn that there was no question that doesn't count, you know. If you don't ask the question, you can't get the answer. And,
right.
You know, that really made a difference for me. And, you know, like you said, you thought of when it changed for you. And for me, it was after I hiked to Hanging Lake in Glenwood Springs. And it's a lake at the very top of a mountain up a pretty steep incline. And I got up there and sat at the top where the falls would fall over into this crystal blue water that should be like in the Bahamas somewhere, not in the middle of the Rocky Mountains in high desert. And it was like, this is beautiful. And if God can put a lake at the top of a mountain and it be that pristine, then just imagine how pristine and beautiful we are to Him in our divineness and our bodies that we have now.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Because for me, a lot of it was about self-image. You know, I didn't believe in myself. I didn't like myself. I didn't think I had any talent or any gifts. And what I've got to learn is you get the gifts as you need them, as you attain the experience and you attain the trust. And I think, you know, until we do that, we don't venture out there. You know, we stay stuck in what ifs, you know.
Right. And, you know, I think that is also the beauty of the process of hiring the heavens, which I freely admit was just given to me by my spiritual committee. And I personally have read my book 5 times or more because I've needed to and to be reminded of it. But, you know, the beauty of it is that it's a simple metaphor that is easy, that anybody can do. It doesn't require that you learn the skill of meditation or spend any amount of time in prayer or, you know, do any kind of ritual. It doesn't require anything, and everybody listening knows how to do it immediately. There's nothing you have to, no talent you have to have, no gift you have to have. You just can do this. It's yours. You already know it. You already know how to do it, and that's the beauty of it. So you begin to play with it, and it begins to open that door to your divine self. And when that happens, it's almost going on in behind the scenes. On the outside, you're just having fun playing around. But on the inside, it's changing who you think you are. And it begins to change and connect you with the truth of your divine self. And that's the magic of it, and that certainly was the magic for me, because eventually as I was playing around with hiring the heavens and getting all my requests answered, okay, now let me back that up. Not all my requests, but most of them responded to in ways that were jaw-dropping, are you kidding me, kind of responses that just blew me away. When this started happening for me, eventually I had to ask the question. And this question is like so this is my pivotal moment, is when I asked that question, who am I that the heavens could possibly be interested in helping me? What would make me so important that my little request to help me go shopping for clothes is responded to? Is that crazy or what? I mean, because again, when I, coming from my religious training, it was that you approach God with great trepidation, you know, and you had to wait till you were in a time of crisis. But here I was having the experience that the spiritual world was willing to go help me shop, for crying out loud. It's like, why? Why would they be interested in helping me shop? That, and when you ask that question, that's what helps you to eventually realize the truth of who you are. Well, you're that God energy. Each and every one of us is God energy, and so are the angels. Where it's all this one energy, and it's not separate from anything else. And we're the ones that struggle with the whole worthiness issue, but it, in this, in spiritual terms, that worthiness doesn't exist. And so the idea that well, you know, you can get help to go shopping for clothes, of course, if that makes you happy, why not? And if you can get help organizing your closet, well, sure, why not? If that's going to bring more joy in your life, absolutely. And you can get help with your romance and to have a, you know, a sizzling hot relationship. Well, sure, why not? If that makes you happy, it's all about bringing more joy in your life and bringing more awareness of who you are. And that's the astounding thing that happens when you play, quote unquote, with hiring the heavens very, very gently. It brings you to this awareness of who you are. That's the most astounding thing that happened to me. And I didn't set out to do that. Certainly, it came. The moment came after writing my book. Isn't that interesting that it took a number of years of playing with it before the epiphany sunk into every cell in my body?
And that's that experience that you were just talking about. You know,
yeah.
That you gained it. You got to that point because of the experiences you'd had and trusted to have, you
mm-hmm.
know, and took that risk to have. And can you give the listeners your website and contact information so that if they want to contact you or be able to get in touch with you for your book, they have a way to do that?
Sure. They can go to jeanslater.com, and that's J-E-A-N, S as in Sam, L-A-T-T-E-R. It looks like Jean Slater, but it's Jean Slater. I tried to get my husband to drop that T, but I said, look, I'm changing my whole last name to your name. Can you at least drop the T? And his convincing argument was, do you know how many Slaters there are in the phone book? So I said, okay, keep the T. I'll be a little unusual. So it's jeanslater.com. And also they can get to my website, same place, through creativemystic.com. That's actually the name of my website. And I'll tell you why it's called Creative Mystic is because once I had that awareness of who I really am and that I had access to this part of the truth of who I am and to this part beyond this physical, I had questions, Rhonda. I cannot even begin to tell you how many questions I had. You know, I wanted to go back to all of the things that I had learned growing up, and I said, okay, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this, you know? I had eventually all the big mystic questions. Who are we? How did we get here? What's our purpose? Does any of this even matter? And I call those the mystic questions because that's, you know, the mystics have been asking those questions for as long as we've got recorded history. And I had those questions, and I went directly to my higher guidance to ask those questions. And I said, you know what, I don't have time to, you know, go up on a mountaintop and contemplate the meaning of life. I have four kids. I've got a husband. I've got a career. How do I understand these significant mystical questions in modern life. And so I named my website Creative Mystic because I think we have to get creative. We have to understand how do we become spiritual beings in a physical world? How do we become spiritual beings doing the dishes and taking the kids to soccer and doing our laundry? How do we truly work and how do we truly operate from our divine selves first and foremost? How do we actually live as spiritual beings in a physical experience? So that's why I named it Creative Mystic. So that's my website, creativemystic.com or geneslater.com.
Okay, and listeners, if you want to call in with your comments or questions, you can call 1-347-838-9142. And after the prompt, press 1 once, and I can see that you have a question or comment in the back office. You know, there's no question that isn't right or wrong at this point. You know, every question's important. And, you know, and just because it's going to help you with your belief system and where you're at so that you can understand how to set these things up, because it's pretty much performed a miracle in my life as far as I'm concerned of finally learning that I could have free access to the divine and that I didn't have to wear a shawl or have my head covered or, you know, show up in church and sit in the front pew every Sunday. I wonder if I'm going to be divinely inspired. You know, instead I was able to walk life, and I, like you, raised kids. You know, I was a single mother. I was going to college at the time, you know, when I first started interacting with trying to find the divine and trying to find out how it really works. And then, you know, I came across your book and it felt like it was an answer to a prayer. It's like, I do not get this. I'm trying all these different things. Why isn't it working? And when I started journaling and writing things down, then I started seeing the progression and the change.
Mm.
And the love from the divine that would show up with people. Some of them I didn't even know, because I live in a small mountain community where, you know, they would go get meds for me in town if I needed them. Or, you know, they would make the 3-hour drive round trip to get my medications. And, you know, and that's the divine working. You know, that's not me working.
Mm.
It's not like I went
right.
Made that happen, you know, and it,
right.
And the divine put it on that person's heart to reach out to me, and then I had to reach out and accept the gift, so to speak. And I think that's the other thing, is we're taught, oh, you know, just pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep moving on, you know, you should be able to do this by yourself alone. And it's not like that anymore, you know. It's we
mm-hmm.
all want to help each other, and it's the most beautiful, loving experience that I've ever been through. And, you know, and it's like, I want everybody to have a taste of this. This is why I tell my clients and I tell other people that I barely know, go get this book, read this book. You know, it's not that expensive and it works. You know, you can have 2 cups of Starbucks coffee or a book that can help you answer life's, you know, problems because of learning how to let go of them and give them to the divine.
And, you know, you just said something that is so profound, and it's something that I actually have been working with to a deeper level. You know, it's kind of like those layers of the onion. You can have an awareness of something and then get a deeper awareness and a deeper awareness. And I just this past week have been working even more deeply with that whole idea of being a receiver of love. Not just a giver of love, but opening up to be a receiver and a giver of that love energy. And, you know, that it's funny you said pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Those were exactly the words I was using in my meditation this morning. That was one, you know, that was how I was taught. Emotionally, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Suck it up and get on,
yeah.
You know. And what ends up happening is that you end up not only shutting yourself off to the amount of love that's available to you. You shut yourself off from it because you feel like, you know, if I get help in any way, I'm not pulling myself up by my own bootstraps, you know. But also, because of closing off to receiving love, you're not able to give it either. And so that it's just kind of coincidental that you use those exact same words that I was thinking about this morning.
And we have two callers in the back, but neither one have pushed one, so I'm not sure if they want to comment or not, but I'm going to risk it. And now they just pushed the little button. Good job. Just press one if you want to talk to Jean. Hello, this is Rhonda. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Rhonda. Karen.
Hi, Karen. Jean,
how are you?
This is
I'm enjoying the show.
What's your question, Jean?
Okay, I've been meditating and doing various things, and I feel like I'm not really in touch with my guides or angels. I've been told that it's kind of right there, but I'm not merging with them, and I kind of don't really understand how I can actually break through. I wonder if you see anything or if you have any advice for me.
You bet, Karen. Well, one of the things that I haven't really gotten into explaining very much is the concept of hiring the heavens, but it's really an easy metaphor of how we do things here on the physical realm. So just imagine that you've got a project that you want to do. Who would you want to hire on the physical realm to help you with that project? Well, the idea of hiring the heavens is that every skill, talent, ability, and personality trait that you can possibly think of exists first in the spiritual realm. So to imagine hiring from that resource pool first. Okay, so that's the main idea behind it. It's a simple idea. And so in your case, if you were going to, on a physical level, hire someone, and there's no restriction of time or money, you got plenty of that. If you wanted to hire somebody on the physical level to help you feel more connection with your angels and guides, who would you hire? Again, we're talking on the physical level. Who would you hire?
Someone who is in touch.
Okay, how about, yeah, or perhaps, pardon me?
A psychic, a medium.
I love it, yeah. Okay, so just put the word spiritual in front of that and imagine hiring a spiritual psychic, a spiritual medium, a spiritual intuitive. You can hire a spiritual angel interpreter so that, you know, all language will be interpreted correctly. I'm just being funny, but that's how you do this. You just have fun with it and just get imaginative. So imagine hiring those skills on the spiritual level and then give them an assignment to do. To tell them, listen, here's what I want to experience. Can you work with me and help me to feel that connection to my angels and guides? Now, Karen, I'm going to ask you also to hire, let's see, there's a specialist that wants to come in to help you with this. So let's just see who that is. Okay, this is just really weird. What I'm seeing is to hire a spiritual office manager. Now, not just an office manager. This office manager is going to, like I'm seeing them, it's an office manager that's going to watch the phone lines too, you know, manage the receptionists that are answering the phones. Because there's something about that energy of being able to manage and screen the calls. Now, what I mean by that is, if there's a lot of mental activity that's going on and a lot of thoughts, You have to have somebody, like a spiritual receptionist, that is screening the call and saying, okay, well, that's just fear talking, or that's just doubt talking, or that's just, you know, and handling those calls so that and dealing with them very gently, very kindly, and with love and compassion to deal with those calls that are coming in through your mind and through your head. And then when the call comes through that is like that direct from your spiritual being, you know, to connect in with your angels, your receptionist says, got it, she's on, and hooks you in directly. Does that make sense?
Yes. To weed out all that other stuff that's not relevant.
Yeah. So that's what you'll want to hire. You know, I've never seen that before, but thank you for that, because that's a beautiful metaphor. I think a lot of people could actually use that and could relate with it. So have your spiritual office manager explain to all the phone operators how to handle the calls that are coming in and how to recognize who's calling and to deal with those calls.
Wow.
Have fun with Aaron.
Okay, so I just kind of make this intent and say it out loud and call on a spiritual office manager to come and do all that?
Yes, that's what I do. I talk to them like they're sitting in front of me. I imagine in my mind's eye, I imagine, and I do speak out loud, I imagine hiring them, and I'd say, okay, just kind of like I was telling you, here's what I want you to do, and I make it fun. I mean, these are my friends, so I you know, have fun with them. And I go, okay, if a call comes in from my head and it's doubt, please, you know, reassure doubt and work with doubt in a very loving, compassionate way. But would you please handle that call? Because I know that's distracting, and it's not the real me talking. But when you get a call from my divine self connecting in directly to, and wanting to connect in directly to my angels and guides, put me through.
Hey, sounds good.
All right, have fun with that, Karen.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you, Karen.
I should get your book, too.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
And then we have about 2.5 more minutes if anyone still wants to call in at 1-347-838-9142 and press 1 once for your comment or question, and Jean will be able to help you with that. And then the other thing is this show is in the archive, so you can listen to it again. So in case if you want to hear the instructions on how to implement this program and this idea into your life, you can listen to it as many times as you need to, just like I reread the book at least once a year. And I always find something that I didn't see the year before.
Agreed. I do the same thing, Ron.
I know. It's
like I said,
it's
never
manual.
Stop getting more depth from it.
Exactly. Well, we are out of time, and I really appreciate you coming on the show, and we're going to have to work out something to have you on regularly so that people can start getting this into their life stream with the energy moving so fast and needing to really trust in the divine. This is the perfect time for this. So you and I'll talk later. Listeners, thank you so very much for tuning in, and we'll be done for today. And next week I have a Corandera on Thursday, Natalie Cruz, and I have Ashira Luna Lakshmi, who's going to be doing live readings on Friday. So please look up the Roadmap for Seekers and Searchers Roadmap, and hopefully one of these lovely people that I bring to the shows will help you find your path to enlightenment. And may you have a wonderful day. Thanks, Jean.
Thanks, Rhonda. Have a great day.
Uh-huh. You too.